What would you do if you had just 1 week to live? This question sits at the heart of Veronica's journey, a beautiful 24-year-old Slovenian woman who meticulously arranges her possessions before swallowing 4 packs of sleeping pills. Her suicide attempt fails, but a doctor delivers devastating news. Her heart is irreversibly damaged, and she has only days to live. The irony isn't lost on Veronica, who responds with a quiet smile. "So I succeeded then." Her death wish granted in this unexpected way, Veronica finds herself in Villette, Slovenia's infamous asylum, a place where the boundaries between sanity and madness blur into something more profound than either. Veronica wasn't depressed in the conventional sense. Life had simply become unbearably predictable. Each day followed the same pattern, the same bars, the same lake walks, the same TV shows. She maintained emotional distance in relationships, choosing security over risk. When a magazine article asked, "Where is Slovenia?" a seemingly trivial question, it sparked her final act of defiance, a suicide note explaining her country's location between Austria, Italy, and Croatia. This peculiar farewell reveals the heart of her despair. Not sadness, but a profound weariness with the monotonous predictability of existence and her powerlessness to change anything meaningful. Villette defies cinematic stereotypes. Instead of chaos, Veronica finds an unsettling silence where patients conceal their inner worlds. The asylum operates dubiously. Wealthy clients can commit relatives for inheritance or to hide criminals. Yet within these walls, Veronica discovers unexpected wisdom, challenging her understanding of sanity. Zedka, receiving depression treatment, explains that being crazy means living in your own world, applying not just to schizophrenics, but to visionaries like Einstein and Columbus. She shares a parable about a kingdom where everyone drinks poisoned water and goes mad except the rulers, who eventually drink it too, becoming mad like their subjects, who then consider them wise again. "All of us, one way or another, are insane," Zedka concludes, defining insanity as the inability to communicate your ideas. This perspective inverts convention. Perhaps sanity is merely conformity, and madness simply seeing the world differently. Have you ever felt your passion for life slowly draining away? Dr. Igor Villette's director theorizes about vitriol, the bitterness that poisons the soul when we build defensive walls against the world. The embittered continue functioning but lose all passion and desire. This poison manifested in Veronica's pre-suicide life. She abandoned her calling as a pianist because her mother deemed it impractical, choosing security as a librarian as her life devolved into empty routines. Mari, once a successful lawyer, suffered debilitating panic attacks leading to hospitalization. Though improved, she remained in Villette rather than return to a system she viewed as broken, confessing she had always tried to be a cistern with rigid walls rather than an overflowing fountain. Edward's story is perhaps most tragic. The ambassador's son abandoned diplomatic studies to paint his visions of paradise. When his father pleaded for him to change in the name of love, Edward judged his work mediocre and abandoned his passion, becoming schizophrenic, trapped between worlds. What happens when you realize you have nothing left to lose? For Veronica, imminent death creates unexpected freedom, a profound awakening of suppressed desires that challenges her self-understanding. In one provocative scene, she stands naked before Edward and masturbates to explore forbidden fantasies. She surrenders to scenarios she'd never allowed herself, becoming both queen and slave, dominatrix and victim. This sexual self-discovery marks her first step toward embracing desires without societal judgment. This liberation extends beyond sexuality. Having always maintained emotional distance, Veronica suddenly finds herself capable of genuine intimacy. When Edward undergoes electric shock treatment, she stays by his side despite suffering another heart attack, what Zedka recognizes as true love. Veronica's musical passion also reawakens. Finding a piano in Valette's living room, she initially pounds chaotic chords that channel years of suppressed rage before evolving into playing with heart and soul, making music purely for its own sake. Love in the novel manifests as both poison and cure. Edward's story demonstrates this duality. His father's emotional appeals in the name of love destroyed his passion for painting and triggered his schizophrenia. Veronica recalls a childhood painting of the Virgin Mary standing on a snake, representing good and evil controlled by love. Edward later reinterprets this as love above wisdom, showing how love can either control or liberate depending on whether it imposes will or nurtures authenticity. Mari's pursuit of her impossible love further illustrates this theme. After following a man across oceans as his mistress, she later saw a statue of a poet gazing at his own impossible love, triggering depression as she questioned her own efforts. In contrast, Veronica and Edward's relationship embodies love's liberating potential through acceptance. When Edward suggests leaving Valette together, Veronica warns their time won't last. "It will last an eternity," Edward replies, "longer than all his identical days trying to forget paradise." "Stay insane, but behave like normal people," advises a visiting Sufi master, a paradox that frames the novel's view of madness as a path to freedom. The fraternity, patients who could leave Villette but choose to stay, recognize that within these walls they enjoy freedoms unavailable in the sane outside world. When Mari announces her plan to leave for Bosnia at 65 to be useful, believing the danger of an adventure is worth 1,000 days of ease and comfort, the fraternity concludes she has finally gone insane, ironically confirming she has found her freedom. Edward's schizophrenia represents both the consequence of denying his authentic self and a refuge from rejection of his visions. As Edward and Veronica escape together, he simply states, "Crazy people do crazy things." Here, madness becomes not a clinical condition, but a willingness to defy convention and pursue authentic living. The novel inverts traditional understandings of sanity, suggesting true insanity lies in a society valuing conformity over authenticity, security over passion, and predictability over genuine experience. Dr. Igor's experiment is revealed. He induced false heart attack symptoms to test if awareness of death encourages us to live more intensely. Veronica was never dying. Each symptom was designed to see if confronting mortality could cure her suicidal outlook. The results were transformative. Veronica's journey from bitterness to vitality sparked change throughout Villette. Marie requested discharge after years of institutional comfort, while other patients questioned their diagnoses. One person's authentic engagement with life revitalized an entire community. Edward and Veronica celebrate their escape at Ljubljana's finest restaurant before heading to the castle overlooking the city. There, Veronica secures Edward's promise to return to his art and paint her. She realizes her life found meaning by helping him rediscover his artistic path. In the final scene, Veronica falls asleep in Edward's arms. When she awakens confused to find a policeman standing over them, Edward simply states, "Nothing." Or rather, a miracle happened. Another day of life. This captures the novel's wisdom. Each morning offers the miracle of another chance to truly live.